Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Welcome, visitors. So glad to see you all here today. Before we start, we're going to have a song.
Sacrifice, those of whom this world is not worthy. Let us run, run, run the race with endurance, laying aside every weight, casting aside every sin. Let us run, run, fixing our eyes on the sun, looking to Him, finishing what we've begun. Let us run. Can you see now we are entrusted with continuing what other stars? Baton, straight and fast, till we've won. We roll one to Him who is holy. Let us run, run, run the race with endurance, laying aside every weight, casting aside every sin. Let us run, run, fixing our eyes on the sun, looking to Him, finishing what we've begun. Let us run. Oh, and yes, there are some who will stumble, fall in. God only knows I am one. Still I press toward the goal, for the Lord, He is calling me. He's gone before, He's my reward when I am done. Let us run, run, run the race with endurance, laying aside every sin, casting aside every sin. Let us run, run, fixing our eyes on the sun, looking to Him,
you to our last message of our series, Unveiling Bible Prophecy. It's really hard to believe that this is the last message. We started October 29th. This is the 18th and final message, and I'm just so happy to have done it, to have shared the gospel with all of you, and so glad to see all of you here today as we finished out the series. So today, the last topic, peace at last. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal loving Father in heaven, I thank you so much for blessing us throughout this series. I thank you for every message that was preached. I thank you for your truth. And I thank you for the decisions that have been made. I ask now that you please speak through me. Use me as your mouthpiece, that it may be not my own words, but yours. I ask for your guidance, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit may guide each and every one of us. In all truth, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So going back to the beginning, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God had created us, he created us in his own image, perfect, without any flaws. So, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So God had created the entire earth, everything that was in it, created mankind, and everything was given to us except for one tree. That was the test of loyalty. So, the enemy of souls, Satan, through the serpent as his medium, deceived Eve. When God said, "If you eat of the tree, you will die," he comes and tells Eve in Genesis 3:4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Contradicting what the Lord had said, sowing doubt into Eve, thus deceiving her and leading to Adam. Genesis 3:6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So the couple, once perfect in the eyes of God, have now disobeyed and separated themselves. Genesis 3:7, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Notice right away, things started to change. Their perception of one another started to change. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. So now they had shame. Verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the tree of the garden." So not only did their perception change, but their relationship with God has now changed. Now they were afraid to be before him. They felt guilt. They felt shame. And they hid themselves. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So, the woman who Adam was glad to have beforehand, saying, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, we are now one," now he's just putting all the blame on her. So now their relationship has changed. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." So because the serpent was Satan's medium to deceive Eve, now the serpent is cursed. Do you notice a chain of events happening? One act of disobedience changes everything. But the promise was given. God was not going to leave Adam and Eve in darkness. He was not going to leave them alone. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The promise given of a Messiah to come that would restore the things that would have been lost. Verse 16, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So now, pain is entered into this world. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" Now the ground is cursed. So now, instead of the normal diet of fruits and nuts that was prescribed, that was given to mankind, things started to change. Now man had to work for his food. Verse 18, "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." So now our diets have changed. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Death now is entered into the world. Verse 21, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skins and clothed them." Now a sacrificial system is brought into effect to remind the couple that blood had to be poured out to cover their sins. Verse 22, "The Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." A chain of events had happened because of one act of disobedience. This couple was now no longer granted to eat of the tree of life. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden to go and till the ground to eat the food that came up from it. Everything had changed once sin entered the world. So, the things that had been lost, God had given them the promise that there would be one to restore those things. Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." So God had chosen a people that were going to be his representatives. They were going to show the world and be a witness to the world who the living and true God was and lead them back to him. Exodus 19:5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God did not choose the children of Israel because they were more special than anybody else. As a matter of fact, he says, "You were the fewest among all the people." But God had chosen them to be his representatives. And through them, he gave them the sanctuary. Psalm 77:13, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" So through the sanctuary service, through the sacrifices, they were to be reminded of what the Messiah was going to do for them, pointing to Jesus and what he was going to do for mankind. So they established the sanctuary service as a teaching mechanism. Isaiah 53:4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Amen. Time and time again, God would use his prophets to give a little bit more information of who this Messiah was going to be. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. He was going to be born of a virgin. Little by little, God was just leaking out a little bit more info, showing a little bit more to give the people more information and eyesight so they could look out to who will be this promised Messiah. Then in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. So now the prophecy is given to Daniel. Now they have a timeline. 490 years till Messiah the Prince would come. So now they have an exact time and date of when Jesus was going to come. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Who else is made lower than the angels? We are. So the Son of God humbled himself to take on human nature for our sakes. I remember reading this for the first time, and it blew my mind. Why would the Son of God be mindful of us? Who are we? Why didn't he just destroy us all and just recreate? But no, he loved us. So he took it upon himself to take on human flesh and to come to the earth and to live that perfect life, to be that perfect sacrifice for us. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was baptized right on time, anointed with the Holy Spirit, thus starting his ministry, 3.5 year ministry. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wonderful promise. Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So it was necessary for Jesus to die for us. As it says here in Hebrews, there is no remission without the spilling of blood. John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. So Jesus himself even made a promise that though he may die, he will rise again. And that early Sunday morning, Matthew 28:5, but the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Jesus fulfilled his promise. God had fulfilled the promise that was given to Adam and Eve, that there would be one to come and crush the serpent's head, but his heel would be bruised. God does not lie to us, but he keeps his promises, and we see that over and over again. So he gave his only Son to come and to step in for us, to suffer the cross, and to be that sacrifice that we can all claim, and thus he had reopened the way to salvation. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And in Acts chapter 2, and verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, God had sent his only begotten Son that he may restore what was lost in Eden. He, through Jesus, he was going to bring it back and open the way again. The door that had been shut by Adam was now reopened through Jesus Christ. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Another promise. Jesus promised that if he goes back, he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, he will return to bring his people back. Jesus kept his promises before. Why wouldn't he keep this one? This is one of the last prophecies that has not been fulfilled yet, and that is of the second coming. The blessed hope that we all look forward to and wait for. Hebrews chapter 11. Some call it the faith chapter. Verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If you remember the Exodus story, they were being led to the promised land, Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. But there was a problem. That was only temporary. That promised land was on this earth. So, though they were looking forward to receiving that promise, they were looking forward to the heavenly city. For it says here in verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So just as they back then had waited in faith for that second coming, where all things would be restored again, so we here today, living on this earth, looking forward for Jesus to bring us to heaven to receive the heavenly promise of the promised land, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. All of those people looking forward to those promises, who have went to the grave in faith that Jesus will return, all looking forward to that promised day, just as we do today. For he has prepared a city for them. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What an inspiring promise. We can't even imagine how great heaven is going to be like. See this beautiful picture here? An artist's rendition of what the heavenly city is going to look like? Looks really nice, right? That is garbage compared to what the real heavenly city is. As we have just read, we can't even imagine. So the thoughts can't even come into, we can't comprehend how great and wonderful New Jerusalem and the heavenly city is going to be like. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. John saw in vision the heavenly city. And I imagine John didn't even have the words to describe how beautiful it looked like. But God had told him, Write this down because these words are true and faithful. God is going to recreate. The purpose of hellfire is not only to destroy Satan and all sinners who have refused Christ's grace and righteousness, but it is to destroy everything on this earth. Because everything on this earth has been messed up by sin. So everything has to be destroyed and burnt up till there's nothing left, so that it's like a blank canvas. And there we will see Jesus recreate once again. We will be able to relive Genesis chapter 1. Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Think about it. Think about a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Can you imagine that? Imagine just waking up. I don't know, maybe we don't even have to go to sleep. But, you know, not stubbing your toe, not falling down, scraping your knee, no broken bones, no more stitches, you know, no more people hurting your feelings. These are all promises that God has given us. He said, Affliction shall not rise up a second time. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Do you notice that last part? The former shall not be remembered or come to mind. So, heaven is going to be so great, we're not going to remember the sorrows of this world. The only remembrance we are going to have is the nail prints in Jesus' hands. Everything else will be done away with. Everything else will be recreated and new. Isaiah 60 in verse 18, Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. No more violence, no more destruction, none of that. All done away with. Isaiah 11:6, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 65 and verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. I was in construction for 10 years, wiring people's houses. A lot of new houses, a lot of older houses. The point is, I worked on so many people's houses, and I don't have a house of my own. God had promised that we will build, and another will not inhabit. So I will be able to build my own house, and it will be mine. I will be able to plant a vineyard, and not have to reap everything just so I can sell it vineyards just so I could survive. I'll be able to enjoy the fruit of my own vineyard, and you as well. Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be stopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. More wonderful promises. No more deaf, no more blind, no more handicapped. None of that. Everybody will be perfect. No flaws. I'm looking forward to that day. I have an older brother who has Down syndrome, and he can't communicate very well. And I love my brother very much, and I'm looking forward to that day where I can see him and we can have a conversation. And I just know what he's talking about. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only through Jesus Christ can we receive these promises. He had laid open the way for all of us, not just for a certain group of people, but for all mankind. All we have to do is accept it and walk in it. If you go back to the Exodus story, the children of Israel being led out by Moses, and they come to the Red Sea, and now they're surrounded by two mountain ranges. And the Red Sea is before them, and the Egyptians are right on their tail, ready to destroy them. No place to go. But what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. A path to be saved. All they had to do is step out in faith. And they did. And they escaped the Egyptians, and they made it to the other side. But it was only through the path that God had provided for them. So it is with us today. Jesus is the way. Only through him are we saved.
As we heard today, it is only through Christ that salvation can be attained. And won't it be amazing on that day? What a day of rejoicing that will be, where we can finally see Jesus face to face and look back at our life and say, it has been worth it. Heaven is cheap enough. This morning, I'm going to be sharing a song with you titled, In Christ Alone. Myself in battles won, for I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I'll overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies are not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. His grace I am redeemed. For only His tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gain but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In every victory let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope.